It is day three of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord in the festival studio here in the downtown mall, the media center of the Community Idea Stations. I've said that so many times the past few days, you'd think it would roll off trippingly. I'm sitting here with director Stephen Winter. Do you go by Stephen?
Yes.
Of Jason and Shirley is his film, which screens tonight, Saturday at 6:30 p.m. at the Vinegar Hill Theater. And Jason and Shirley, Jason and Shirley are real people, but this is a dramatized account of work that they did together 50 years ago.
Yes.
Actually, let's start with that, because maybe not everybody knows the origins of the film. This is based on a documentary film called Portrait of Jason that came out in, I want to say, 68.
Yes.
So 50 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about Portrait of Jason and then how that, and who Jason and Shirley are, and then how it led to the film, Jason and Shirley.
Right, so Portrait of Jason is a cinema verite classic, a landmark film. Shirley Clarke was one of the few female filmmakers of the early period of cinema who worked consistently. She was obsessed with black culture, and she was a member. She was one of the people in the Chelsea Hotel during the legendary period,
yes.
Like Arthur C. Clarke and Ginsberg and that whole gang. And Jason Holliday was a cabaret singer, a street hustler, a prostitute, and a black gay rencontreur. And one day, Shirley invited Jason to her apartment to film him for 12 hours to get to, quote unquote, the truth. Mm-hmm. And she employed her then boyfriend, Carl Lee, who was another amazing black actor and director and playwright of his day, and also a street hustler type, to help her. And that from that came this film, Portrait of Jason, which stood for a very long time as the only complete portrait of a black gay person in cinema history. You know, arguably up till Moonlight, that was in the cinema canon.
Right.
And in it, Jason smokes and drinks and has what appears to be an extended nervous breakdown in real time, but is actually very carefully and brilliantly constructed artwork about such things.
Right.
And what I and my team did is that we did a fictionalized what might have happened behind the scenes of that 12-hour period, in which we focused the lens on Shirley and Jason as two titans who are vying for control over the idea of authenticity and of who gets to tell a person's story. So from her status as a female, as a Jewish person, as a person from wealth and privilege, to his position as a black person, as a gay person, as a poor person, what they both needed from each other and took from each other and gave to each other. And that is what the film is about.
So the original film, Portrait of Jason, it was lost. It was seen only in like 16 millimeter prints.
Yes.
For many years. You said you saw it in the early 90s in New York.
Yeah.
Then a print was found, what did we say, about 2013?
So 10, 11, yeah, around there.
Within the past 10 years, sir.
Yes.
And found and restored, so now it can be viewed. But when you saw 16-millimeter beat-up prints of it in the New York Public Library in the early 90s, what did the film mean to you?
Well, I found it horrific, because it felt like it was a portrait of a beaten-down guy getting beaten down more. Mm. And it was hard to understand what was happening in the course of it outside of somebody is exploiting this person. Upon subsequent viewings, you kind of see that Jason was actually this genius performer, and he's actually performing his nervous breakdown. And that was what got the idea of, well, if he's performing it, and this is not just like some kind of found footage of this horror show of a life,
right.
then he is indeed the co-author of this situation. And what does that mean of what happened behind the scenes? Because the Portrait of Jason is filmed in a way, it's presented in a way where it seems like it's happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an hour and 40 minutes in real time of this thing happening. But then I found out it took place over a 12-hour period. Now, first of all, 12 hours? I mean, could anybody imagine being interviewed on camera for 12 hours nonstop?
No.
It's people would break after 45 minutes.
Yeah.
This guy kept going. And for 12 hours, what was in the other 10 hours of footage? What could possibly have been going on? What kind of battle of wills was represented from behind the camera that created all these intersections of gender and race and class and privilege?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, oh, Jason's actually a superhero. And surely it's not so much his Darth Vader. They're both kind of Darth Vaders. Battling for supremacy over the quote-unquote Death Star, which in this instance is who gets to be the realest, who gets to be the coolest, who gets to be the most authentic, who gets to own the truth. And that's what created the momentum to create Jason and Shirley.
So when it came to writing the script, did you do any research? Did you speak to people? Or how much of this was sprung from your own interpretation?
Well, here is a great tip for filmmakers. When in doubt, engage with the best.
Right.
So Jack Waters, who plays Jason Holliday, is a brilliant poet and performance artist.
I'm going to ask you about him.
And Sarah Schulman, who plays Shirley Clark, is an amazing playwright and novelist and active citizen. And they both had done years of research in a general sense of who these two people were.
Oh, really?
So I said, okay, I gave you the story frame. Here's the story frame of what we're going to do for these 12 hours. Jack, you write Jason's dialogue. Sarah, you write Shirley's dialogue. I'll write the other people. We'll all come together. Because you're going to know Jason better than me. You're going to know Shirley better than me. I have a couple of things I want to hit, but in general, let's collab in this way. So for me, I had, after 20 years of experiencing this film in various capacities, I had a pretty good idea of what it was all about. Because Shirley is brilliant. She lets you know who she is by watching her documentary, as does Jason, if you know how to read between the lines. So my ideas were cool. And also, there was not a lot of published scholarly work on what happened behind the scenes there.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote it, we shot it, we were editing it, and then some books came out. And guess what the book said? Exactly what we thought.
How about that?
We were right.
How about that?
We were right. And it was like, what is it? Some kind of like, you know, mysticism? It's like, no. Shirley and Jason were both very, very good at explaining who they were, if you know how to read it. And so thus became it's a fictionalization, you know? And I don't pretend like I am a scholar of Shirley Clark.
Correct.
Or Jason Holliday. But I am a scholar of life. And we definitely all came together to make the right thing here.
Well, I was going to ask you about your actors. Let's start with Jack Waters. My question was going to be, how do you pick someone to play Jason Holliday? I mean, he's such a unique character, but it sounds like Jack Waters already knew the character, has spent some time with him.
Jack Waters, him and his partner, Peter Kramer, have been New York legends since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Performance artists, writers, filmmakers. And so the only reason that this film came into being is because Jack was there.
Right.
You know, and that was the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And here's the other thing about, you know, working with the right people. Sarah Schulman and Jack Waters have been best friends for 30 years.
How about that?
So the only thing I had to do to direct them was to make them be mean to each other. You know, take the love that they have and turn it inwards.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, we kind of just basically cheated because they've been rehearsing, you know, since the 90s.
Right.
So that is the only reason why the film happened is because Sarah Schulman was available to play and to essay Shirley Clark, and that their relationship already pre-existed both artistically and as friends, you know. That's how it worked.
Would you like a double bill? Would you like people to see these films together, or Are they exploring different spaces?
It has been shown together, mm-hmm. and people often go from one to the other. And that excites me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love the fact that those two films are now existing in a shared space.
That they're somehow entwined.
Yeah, that they're in conversation with each other. That was the goal.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm a little awed by it. Like, I don't see it as being like of my doing. It is the doing of the artistic collective that created Shirley Clarke in mm-hmm. the '60s. Mm-hmm. The ancestry of our film is the same because everyone who worked on this film was queer or somehow queer adjacent. We all are from the New York scene. We all, and I'm talking from every person from the PAs upwards. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing about it that came from an outside place. So I do feel, when we were shooting it, it was like something cosmic was sort of happening. We were sort of channeling, not channeling Jason and Shirley, because that's pretty lofty, but channeling the river of creativity that they both sprung from.
Did you feel a responsibility to the characters?
Oh, quite. It was very important that we do it right. I was very concerned to make sure that we were doing it right. You know, they're both so epic, you know, that you can't, like the way we looked at it, I was, if you have a film history, if you're a film history buff, this will make sense. But like the Jamie Foxx movie, Ray, mm-hmm. you know, not a great film, but Jamie Foxx is incredible at channeling Ray Charles.
Agreed on both.
And I was like, we don't really need to do that. What we got to do is what Diana Ross did in Lady Sings the Blues. Mm. Again, not a great movie, and she's not Billie Holiday by any stretch. Like, anyone coming to wanting to look at Billie Holiday, don't go to Lady Sings the Blues.
Right.
But she is doing something.
Right.
Diana Ross doing her thing mm-hmm. that is approximating the same energy that Billy was living in, and it makes for a very effective film, even more so than, I would argue, than Ray. But I was like, what we're trying for is somewhere in the middle of those two things. So it's not about impersonation, and it's not about approximation. It's about creating something that's in the middle that's its own thing.
Interpretation.
Yeah, interpretation. So we built the set. That apartment doesn't exist. And we shot over a long weekend, so the energy stayed in a big flow. Did a couple of pickups a few months later, and there it was.
So you shot it all, not in 12 hours, but darn close to it.
Darn close to it, yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
So the film, Jason Shirley, screens Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Today, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. at Vinegar Hill Theater. So you've screened it in New York.
Yes.
And you've screened it outside of New York.
It's played in a lot of places, yes.
And how has the reaction been? And has there been a difference between the two?
Oh, you know, it's a funny movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's emotionally eviscerating, but it's also kind of hilarious. And when audiences give themselves permission to laugh, it is easier to... It's an exciting experience. It's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight, because in 2015, when it came out, you know, it was still the Obama era, and people were still very nervous about talking about intersections of race, class, and gender, and sexuality. A lot of folks got freaked out by this thing and felt like it was like a painful thing to watch. Then we show it to another audience, especially like perhaps a mostly black audience or a mostly queer audience, and they would just holler. They would have a great time. So now that we're 3 years later, three short years, a very long leap in how things have changed. It's going to be very exciting to see what will be made of it, you know, because it was definitely intended to be viewed as something that will, an experience, but not an unenjoyable one, an enjoyable experience of like feeling like you're in a fly on the wall of this place with these people swirling around while they're drinking and smoking and carrying on. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I don't know. It's screened a couple of times this year, but I wasn't able to go to one. And I actually wasn't able to go to either of them. So this will be my first time seeing it with a public audience. But although some classrooms have seen it, and sure. I get to Skype in with them afterwards, and they all look happy. But I don't know what...
Well, also, I think you may find that here in Charlottesville, we've been having a different kind of discussion lately.
Indeed.
About race and class and open expression. And I think even coming to the Virginia Film Festival in, say, 2 years ago and coming to it now, you would have a very different conversation.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So the film, I'm going to mention a couple more times, Jason and Shirley screening tonight, Saturday, 6:30 p.m., Vinegar Hill Theater. When you're done here, you're going back to New York.
Yes.
Said you're teaching Monday morning.
Yes, all day, Monday morning and afternoon. I got two classes.
At SUNY. You teach screenwriting 2 and 3.
Yes.
And you also gave me this fabulous card. Let's talk about this. Your podcast.
I have.
We're a podcast. We can talk about other.
Yes,
podcasts.
Yes. This is called Adventures in New America. It's from the Night Vale Presents Network, and it is the first Afro-punk sci-fi political satire buddy comedy that the New York Times raved about a few weeks ago, and they said it was the best. It was a new vanguard in fiction podcasting. It is, we're on episode 3. Episode 4 will drop next Friday. I don't want to say too much about the plot because it's more exciting to experience it.
But you don't have to. You've told us everything. It's an Afrocentric
thriller comedy musical. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Gunsmoke and Orson Welles. It's like an old time radio show about a past and a future that never was.
I'm in.
It's good. And it's very funny. And I was at the Austin Film Festival last weekend to sit on a podcast panel, and I got to meet my first group of fans of the show.
Really?
I was like, "You're here because of me and the show?" They're like, "Yes." And I was like, "Ah, that's amazing." I play the lead character. And he is a fat, lonely, curmudgeonly dude who finds out that he has cancer, so he tries to get arrested to go to jail for the free health care. But he has this magical ability. The cops won't arrest him, even though he's black. And so it's my voice, but my delivery is different when I'm in character.
Of course.
You know, I kind of talk more like this.
Yeah.
And this girl came and was like, "I just love that character IA, and I'm just so concerned about his health, but you seem fine and your character and your voice is different." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, because I'm in a character. Like,
acting.
IA is different than me." And so that was just fun. So so if you're into the idea of a fiction podcast, Adventures in New America is for you. You can get it anywhere podcasts are available, iTunes, Stitcher,
all those things, and also information at adventuresinnewamerica.com.
That's right.
So, Jason and Shirley, people want to, well, first of all, they should come to the screening.
Yes.
Tonight at 6:30 in Vinegar Hill. And after they've come to the screening, or if they hear this podcast and said, "I really want to see that film," is there some place they can go to?
They can come to stephenwinter.me, which is my website, stephenwinter.me.
And that's Stephen with a PH.
With a PH. Mm-hmm. And send me a message, and I will get you information of how to watch it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know what?
I'm serious.
I'm going to do that.
Do it!
stephenwinter.me.
I'm on!
Okay. Stephen, thank you so much for coming
by. Thank you for having
me. It's been great fun.
I
feel like you and I have enough in common about film and podcast, we could probably sit here for another hour just gabbing.
I would love to.
You probably have places to go.
Not really. Not until 5. What do I do next?
And I've got other interviews. So one last time.
Right, I have a question for you.
Oh, actually. Please. Yes.
Because I'm teaching screenwriting 2 and 3, and we've come to the part of the semester where it's really just write their screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to meet. I've been cordoning off time to meet with each student individually while a film plays in the classroom.
Okay.
That they can then study.
Sure.
So this is the first week of that.
Yes.
Now, do I go lowbrow or do I go highbrow? Do I do The Conversation by Francis Ford Coppola?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Or do I do The Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis and Sam Jackson?
Ooh.
Both are screenplay driven.
Yes.
Both are of their time, but, you know, accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
One is the highest art you can get. One is low art, but fabulous.
Oh, no. Really? You think The Long Kiss Goodbye is low art?
Well, compared to The Conversation.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's also quite good, and it has a very powerful female character, and it's got, like, I forget the name.
It's been too long.
The guy who wrote it, he's a very important Hollywood. I think he didn't write Basic Instinct, but around that world.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do I do? Like, I know they haven't seen either of them.
Oh, they haven't seen either, but are they going to be interrupted?
No, they are the ones who are scheduled to come talk to me for 25 minutes will have to miss 25 minutes, but the rest of them are in there.
Yeah. See, I think with the conversation, you could miss 25 minutes.
Okay. Oh, snap.
But am I wrong? It's just a little slower pace.
Maybe not.
It's a little slower pace is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it repeats a lot of things.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so you can come and say, oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I missed that part, but they're going to show it again. Yeah.
Snap. Okay.
There was no judgment. It was no judgment on the film.
No judgment on the film, but just truth.
Yeah, it's just truth.
Just truth. Okay. Well, I will take that under advisement. Thank you.
Fair enough. That's about the only response you can give.
I will figure it out on Monday.
Thank you so much for coming by. Stephen Winter, the film is Jason and Shirley. Screens tonight, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. at Vinegar Hill Theater. And, of course, go check out Adventures in New America, his podcast. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. And
all of the podcasts are going to be on SevillePodcast.com and the Charlottesville Podcast Network and on the Film Festival webpage at virginiafilmfestival.org/podcast. Stay tuned, stay in, and see you at the movies.
All right.